Hi, my name's Jo. I'm going to look at the next part of the Lord's Prayer with you this evening. I don't know about you, but it's been quite an exciting weekend between Europe winning the Ryder Cup and, my youngest daughter lost her first tooth this afternoon. So, it doesn't really get much more exciting than that. And if you ask her tonight what she thinks the tooth fairy is going to leave her this evening, she thinks she's going to get £155. She's going to be sorely disappointed, let me tell you that. So tonight we're going to come and think about the next stage of the Lord's Prayer together. And we're going to look tonight at your kingdom come, the words, your kingdom come, your will be done. But before we do that, I thought we could recap on where David brought us to last week. So just put together on the next slide some of the kind of main points that I think David drew out last week for us that hopefully will come up on the screen behind us. He looked at the idea of our Father. And he talked about what a privilege it was for us to be able to come into the presence of Almighty God, but to be able to intimately call him our Father. He talked about how it's not a business relationship, but a family relationship. It's one where we have a God, a Father God, who cares so deeply for us. David challenged us to think about in the idea of church and when we come to God, do we come to him as his lodger or do we come as his child? Do we see ourselves as his children? Or do we need to change even our perspective of who we are? Because it's not through any of our own works or worth, but it's because of what he has done for us that makes us worthy to be called his child. And David reminded us that God is a perfect father. And I'm mindful, even as we look at the next stage of the Lord's Prayer that we're going to focus on tonight, that there will be people who have not had a great experience of a father on this earth. But we can come knowing that we have a God who is a perfect model of what a perfect father should look like. And finally, David reminded us that we're accepted and that we should then want to live in this way. And that sets us up well, I think, for this evening, for us thinking about your kingdom come. And it's interesting straight away that we can notice that the shift has gone from our Father to your kingdom come. So no longer are we coming focusing just on who we are in Christ, but we're coming to him and saying, but because of who we are, we want to see your kingdom and your will be done. So I think straight away tonight we need to recognize that there's a sense of putting down ourselves, putting aside our own agendas, our own desires to come before Father God this evening. And when I was thinking about this, and I'm a mum to three kids, and I would like to think that Connor and I are doing a reasonably good job of raising our three children. I say reasonably because the story I'm about to tell you may differ, and you might want to, please don't phone social services on us, okay? He has survived to tell the tale. But the next slide will show two kind of symbols that if you've been to London or any kind of subway or you're going to have seen signs like this, mind the gap. And we, as good parents, we try to set good boundaries for our children. We try to make sure that we have things set up safely so that when we go anywhere on a day trip, the kids have a very clear understanding of what's safe, what's not safe. And so about 3 years ago, we were visiting friends down in Rugby for the October week. And because rugby is, you can get a high-speed train into London for an hour, less than an hour, we decided that we would do a day trip as a family into London. The children really wanted to see some of the sights that London has to offer, and our eldest daughter was desperately keen to see Matilda on the West End stage, so we had booked tickets as a surprise to go and do that for a pre-birthday treat for her. And on the way into London, the youngest was still young enough that she needed to be in a buggy, which was probably wise. And so we were very mindful that we had the buggy for her. And we were arriving in Euston Station, and we talked the entire way on the train to Josh and to Grace and Zoe, but mainly to Josh, who's a bit of a loose cannon. If anybody knows him, they will understand what I mean by that. And we had been very clear and said, Josh, London's a really busy city. You need to stay really close to Mum and Dad. You can't wander off. If you do get separated from us, then you need to find people who either are wearing police uniforms, or if we get stopped on the tube, if you get left on the platform, we'll get off at the next station, and you need to get on the next train and get off too, and we'll meet you there. And we tried to cover all bases possible to ensure Joshua's safety and the sanity of everybody concerned, really, when we would be in London. And we really, really thought that we had covered the bases and that we had put the boundaries in place carefully for him. And so we arrived into Euston Station, and I was first to get off the train with Zoe, and I pushed her off in the buggy and moved to one side to let other people get past. And then Josh swiftly stepped off the train and disappeared between the gap of the platform and the train. And so the poor child was there, hanging on to the edge of the platform. You could just see his arms and his little head, and he was holding on for dear life. And you could see the trauma in his face. And what could I do as his mum? I would love to tell you that I scooped him up, but I broke out into hysterical laughter at what was happening and what was unfolding before me. Connor was on the train still with Grace, saying, Joe, rescue him, sort him out, pick him up. And I just was doubled. I think it was a nervous laughter, actually, okay? Not just, ha-ha, look at you. But I just couldn't do anything. I felt really helpless in that situation. He lived to tell the tale. He ended up with quite a big bruise on his hip, but he lived to tell the tale. And the rest of the day passed without any great stress, and all the boundaries were followed and all the rules that we had put in place. But Mind the Gap, actually, I think, relates really well to this idea of kingdom come this evening. Because as we think about this, I want us to hold the idea of minding the gap in our heads tonight. Because we are in this stage in our Christian life where we're not yet seeing the fulfillment of what the kingdom coming on earth will look like. And so we're in this gap period. And so I think this phrase, mind the gap, applies not only to when you're getting off a train, do it safely, but to us thinking tonight about what it means for us to be coming to God and praying, your kingdom come. Could we just pray really briefly before we think about these words? Father, we thank you that your word is truth. And we thank you that your word comes to bring us freedom. And I pray, God, that tonight as we think on this next few words, these powerful words in the prayer that you have taught us to pray, I ask that you would open us up, our hearts, our minds. Father, would we see with fresh perspective. In your name, amen. And so in Matthew 6:10, we see it says, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think there's initially two things that I'd like us to just really ponder, think about briefly. That we're living in the present, but we should be mindful of the hope and the promise that we have. That we know that if we have trusted God, if we have that relationship with him, that if we can call him Father, that means that we have a hope that one day we will live with him and that we will see his kingdom in all its fulfillment. But yet there's a challenge that while we are then on earth and living out this Christian walk, as we live out our relationship with God, and then as we seek to show the impact that that has on our relationships with others, that we're mindful that we're in the now, but we're also in the yet to be. And I thought, first of all, tonight that we would think about what one day God's kingdom on earth could and will look like. And it reminded me of the words in Revelation 21, where it says, it's the first 7 verses, if you want to turn it up. It's quite small on the screen, I'm sorry. But it's Revelation 21, 1-7. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" I think here we get a glimpse into that complete restoration of peace and God's kingdom. We get that picture of the hope that we have, of what we are moving towards. But yeah, we're not there yet. And we don't know when and if exactly how we will see that peace completely restored. And so until this picture in Revelation, until we see that fulfilled, I think there are implications in the here and now for us. As we pray these words, "May your kingdom come, may your will be done." And I think for us tonight, it means that we are saying to God that we want to carry out his will in our own lives on this earth. And therefore, being able to bring about a little bit of that heaven, that kingdom on earth, in our own lives and for the people that we interact with on a daily basis. So what does that mean for us today? It's probably going to be a picture going to come up, and many of you will know who this lady is. She is Super Nanny, yeah. She has probably been one of the most famous. I think she's still childless herself, which is remarkable, actually, that she has made quite a lot of money, quite a lot of success on telling people how to parent and helping them establish boundaries in their own families. And yet, she's never really done it herself with her own children, but she seems to be pretty good at it. One of the things that Super Nanny is said to have said at some point is that parents shape behavior. You're teaching your kids how to communicate with you and others. That first phrase, parents shape behavior, was really, really interesting. Because if we look at our Father God, we see in his word, the Bible, how he wants to shape our behavior, how he wants to shape our minds, our thought processes, our actions. Because he wants to communicate with us, but also he wants us to communicate his love and his truth to others. And so for those of us who are parents, we know that we might try and stick by some of the super nanny, you know, values of the naughty step and time out, and that's just time out for the parents, I think, in our house, not just the children, to ensure that chaos doesn't reign, to ensure that things happen smoothly, that there's a bedtime, that there's a routine to some extent, so that everybody is safe, so that everyone in that home feels loved and valued and secure. And I think it's true with Father God, that he wants us to know that we are loved, that we're valued, that we are secure. But he also knows that we need to feel safe. And that's why he has given us, in his word, the Bible, routines, values to live by, to follow, to ensure that we are safe, that we are protected. So we're going to look at a little bit of that tonight. And I just want us to remember that God is not, he's not a father who's standing over us, waiting for us to get something wrong, waiting to chastise us. He's not like me, laughing in the face of my son's crisis. I don't do that often. I think that's been the only time. But he's a God, a father who's there lovingly, gently restoring us and helping us to ensure that we can live within the guidelines and boundaries that he has for us. Gently restoring us when we get it wrong. Because ultimately he wants us to walk in his freedom and his truth. So I think tonight we could change that parent-shaped behavior to thinking about how God shapes our behaviors. And so we're going to look at Galatians 5, 16 to 26 for a short while together. Because I think if we are truly coming before our Father God, if we're truly praying, your kingdom come, your will be done, then that means that we have got to ensure that the way we're living our lives reflects those kingdom values. And there are many places that we could look at. We could look again, like David mentioned last week, the story of the prodigal son and how the father welcomes the son back. We could look at that again in light of your kingdom come and that restoration. There's other verses and passages that we could look at, so many, but I've chosen Galatians 5, 16 to 26 as a kind of framework for us tonight to just ponder in light of us coming before Father God and asking for his kingdom to come. And it says this, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So if we're truly coming before God as Father, and if we're truly in our minds and in our hearts wanting to live a life that is pleasing to him, that reflects his kingdom values, that allows a glimpse of what his kingdom on earth will one day look like, then we have to make sure that our lives measure up, if you like, to this standard in Galatians 5. And as a mom, I was thinking about when I set boundaries for my children. And because my kids are a little bit older now, we really do have to make sure that Connor and I are tag teaming at all times, that we've noticed that there can be a little tendency to, you know, play one of us off the other, or they know that mom has said one thing and that they might try and go to dad in the hope that dad's maybe not caught up on the same page yet, you know, or vice versa. And so we now have kind of taken a new stance on how we instill new boundaries and new rules and consequences in our family. And that is that when something happens, Connor and I retreat, first of all, we wave a flag, and we retreat to ensure that we have a few minutes to talk through what's happened and what we're going to do. And our son gave us another opportunity to do this today. Poor Josh, he just gets such a bad rep. He, in a rage, flicked a water bottle, and the long and short of it is we now have a huge crack on the windscreen of our car. And yeah, it's been quite a big, serious thing to have happened, actually. But where we would have once, perhaps, you know, one of us gone almost to battle with Josh, Connor and I retreated. We both went, okay, we're not going to lose our temper here. We need to put some things in place. And so we have been able to be on the same page, and Josh has got a very clear message of what the consequences are and what the boundaries now are for this next period of time because of what has happened. But for us, it was a situation where we were firefighting, because actually the situation had happened and we had to respond to it. But I love the fact that God has given us choices in terms of how we can live our lives so that actually we can avoid those firefighting situations, so that it's not a case of us having to respond when something has gone terribly wrong, when that windscreen has been cracked and we then need to retreat and think, now what's going to happen? And the first part of Galatians 5 that we read from verses 16 through 21 gave us a really clear picture of what our lives could look like if we choose to be in the driving seat, if we choose our own desires, if we choose to live for ourselves and our own happiness. Then actually what we are going to see in ourselves are things that actually we probably don't like. Anger, jealousy, hostility, idolatry, putting other things first and before God. You could read that list again in verses 19 to 21 of Galatians 5. But yet, because he's a loving Father, because he's a God who doesn't want to see us make those mistakes, he doesn't want to see us get ourselves in situations that are damaging to us, he's then instead given us these boundaries, these values to live by. the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness and self-control. And I think because he's given us this really, really clear blueprint, he's shown us what those boundaries should be for ourselves. I heard this afternoon, my daughter had been doing a performance for a Scripture Union weekend that she's been at, a voice singing camp that she's been on. And the devotion, actually, that they shared as part of that, they've been thinking about kingdom living over this weekend, since Friday night. And the guy, Gordon, who was sharing, he just said, I think this sums up for me, for us this evening. What will God's kingdom here look like? Well, it'll be us as his people living out his values. And the values are right here. We may not see peace restored completely on earth in our time. But we have to remember that we're not going it alone. We have our Father God, who is championing us, who's cheering us on, who's supporting us, who's loving us, who's gently rebuking us when we need to be rebuked. I thought also within that idea of a father putting boundaries in place, we have a choice to make. We have a choice with our own earthly parents to live as they have brought us up. And I know for some of you maybe here this evening, you're, you know, back at university or it's your first year at university. And so you're away from home and you have that choice because your parents aren't here. Your parents have brought you up and maybe put boundaries and rules in place because they wanted to bring you up in a particular way, in a way that they felt was honoring to God. But now that you're away from home, you have that choice. You can continue to pursue those values that your parents have set you and have shown you the example of. Or you can choose when you come to university and you're away from their shadow and their watchful eye all the time to do your own thing. And I don't think it's any different for us this evening. I think that we have a choice tonight. We have a choice of whether or not when we come before God and we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. We have a choice on whether or not we recognize the part that we have to play in that. We have a choice about whether or not we want to pursue those kingdom values. We have a choice about whether or not we want to share the love, the joy, the peace with others. And I think we ultimately have a choice as to whether or not when we come to God and we pray, your kingdom come, are we coming to him saying those words because actually there's something that we want and that we think by saying these words is somehow going to win us favor? I thought back to what David was saying last week about it's not a business transaction. It's not a case of us going through this model of this prayer for the sake of it because of something we want for ourselves. Rather, it's us coming to God in the freedom that he has won for us, the work that he has done for us to be accepted. Because actually we want to please him. Because we want to honor him. Because we want to play a small part in seeing his kingdom come on earth. I know in a couple of minutes we're going to go into a song, and then we're going to go into communion together this evening. But I found a quote that I thought, just as we are finishing up this evening, maybe would challenge us and help us to think and reflect a little bit more. And it says, if you've not chosen the kingdom of God first, it will in the end make no difference what you have chosen instead. If you've not chosen the kingdom of God first, it will in the end make no difference what you have chosen instead. And I know we could look at that and we could think about, well, eternal consequences. And David talked about that last week, about whether or not we actually know God as Father, whether or not we are actually in relationship with him. And so this quote reminds us of those eternal consequences if we don't put that right, if we don't get our relationship with God sorted. But I think ultimately as well, tonight, it reminds us of the choice that we have. That when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. We can either choose to live as God's people, to reflect kingdom values on this earth with people that we interact with. Or we can choose to live for ourselves. And so as we move into worship tonight, and as we move in to time at the communion table together, let's not miss the opportunity tonight to bring things to God that maybe we need to put right before him. Let's not lose this opportunity to come before our Father God and be restored. What safer place could that happen in? And let's go into this week praying again those words, your kingdom come. Let's go into this week as partners with God in bringing that kingdom here on earth. And let's reflect more of his kingdom values in the way that we live our lives and in the way that we share our lives with others this week.